David Trainer, president of New Constructs, is here, and he's looking at a stock that is stumbling right out of the gate.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
And it may never get up, and we'll talk about it now. Welcome to the Danger Zone. Yes, it's the Danger Zone here on Money Life, where we go places that, quite honestly, you might be going, but you probably don't want to, because our wingman here is David Trainer. He is founder and president at New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. They dig in at the footnotes level and work their way up. And so if you're looking at something from the top down, you may see numbers that look okay to you.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
When it's possible that they're not as attractive as you think they are. Flip side of that is, there are times when they're going to look in at the bottom-up level and they're going to find something where the misleading economics of the company are actually working in your favor. And so it looks ugly to everybody else, but David's thinking,
you are so good-looking.
If you want to learn more about how it works, you're going to go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter, at newconstructs. David's got an interesting one picked for us today. David Trainer, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Domo.
Danger, danger.
Domo. It's Domo Inc. This is a company that is actually IPO this week. It's coming out on Thursday, June the 28th. This has been an IPO with a lot of different issues. And I have to say, I'm not sure that all of those issues show up in the documents that you look at. So I'm very curious, how much of your trouble with Domo is what you know, and how much of it is what you kind of have to look at and go, ugh, do I really want to get into that hornet's nest too?
You know, if you want to trust the headlines, you want to hear what the people making money selling the shares are saying, you're not going to get the message that you need to get, because they're in the business of selling stock, not providing good advice, even though the distinction between those two is not always readily apparent to most in the business.
The problem here and the disconnect here comes where?
Well, this one's a particularly juicy one, Chuck. A lot of times, you know, we're focused on the numbers and how they just don't add up. But this one also reveals some really troubling, really, really troubling special rules and some self-dealing that really make this an IPO. I mean, a lot of times I've said to you before, this IPO is clearly about lining the pockets of the underwriter. This one's about lining the pockets of insiders, friends and family, and possibly the CEO. The numbers here are ridiculous. They're spending at an alarming rate, way more than revenue. They have the lowest return on invested capital of any of the 2,800 companies we cover, which is a fairly significant distinction. But what really gets us on this one is the fact that it's a dual class IPO like a lot of these other ones. And you've got a CEO who's going to have 86% of the voting power. This is a CEO with a track record of self-dealing, doing business with friends and family, giving them contracts, whether it's leasing jets or catering. Not necessarily things that a company like this should be spending much money on at all when you're losing as much money as they are, burning through cash. I mean, they are going to potentially either have to drastically cut spending or constantly be raising money. So this is the kind of business we're dealing with, and yet you got a self-dealing CEO. Not cool. The other big red flag is that there is a special exemption for friends and family and certain insiders that makes them exempt from the lockup. That is, in my opinion, been the only sort of protection that individual or unprofessional investors have in the IPO market. Because, look, we learned from the tech bubble that the IPO market can just be a total ripoff job for the average investor. And they put in a lockup. They couldn't rip you off too fast, right? You couldn't have the insiders and management and private equity guys just sell their shares to an unknowing public. A special rule means that friends and family and insiders get to be exempt from the lockup period and can effectively flip the IPO, just as what we saw in the tech bubble.
We have all of this as problems. But at the same time, IPOs generally are meant to pop. They're built that way. Now, again, the CEO controls so much of the stock that maybe nobody else gets to participate in this one. But are the numbers not rigged? I mean, is this going to be one of those cases where it's kind of like flat champagne?
You never know. We had similar arguments. We didn't have the self-dealing and things like that with you know, the Snapchat IPO, but the numbers, the competitive position, they all look just as bad. It popped, you know, but it's now close to 50% down from its IPO price. I'm not, you know, look, I think that there are certain structural loopholes, asymmetries that the big investment banks exploit in order to create a pop in an IPO. I think it's a supply-demand issue that they can artificially create with the differences between the access that they can give to institutional versus individual investors. It's the same game they played in the tech bubble. So I'm not here to guarantee that it's not going to pop. It could pop. I think the timing on when the bubble bursts, the opposite sort of pop, it's hard to predict, right? Like one of the things, Chuck, we don't do here at New Construct is pretend to have a crystal ball.
But if you had to assign a value, I mean, look, the expected price range is $19 to $22 a share. If you had to assign a value, can you assign a value at this point and say, I think it's worth a lot less? You know,
definitely worth a lot. It's the expectations, like those numbers, yeah, they're broken too. I mean, like, for example, the current stock price implies that they're going to go from spending $1.60 for every dollar of revenue, right? So their expenses are 160% of revenue, right? So they're horribly unprofitable. But if you look at the midpoint price of $20.50, that would imply that they're going to suddenly swing from 160% spending to 80% spending, right? So that they got a 20% profit margin, which is similar to like IBM, and then grow revenue by 20% compounded annually for almost a decade. That's what they got to do to justify that price.
Yeah. Well, Domo, it's the business intelligence and data visualization provider, but there doesn't seem to be much intelligence there at all. You know, so as we like to say,
no signs of intelligent life forms.
Yeah. And that's why you don't want to buy it at the IPO this week and why it's in the danger zone. David Trainer, thanks so much for joining me on the show.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
David Trainer is the founder and president at New Constructs. For more information, go to newconstructs.com, where they blog about their danger zone picks, so you can always get more information on anything you hear us talking about here. And they're on Twitter, at New Constructs. All right, we are heading for home on the Monday, June 25th edition of Money Life. We've been talking a little bit of forensic accounting here. Well, Albert Mayer, forensic accountant and the founder of Bastiat Capital, is here when we come back in just a moment.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.